Welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdicts, and I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 4, entitled Some Guy. It's written by David Leslie Johnson and directed by Dan Louie. They both worked on The Walking Dead in the past. Gary, we've watched this episode twice now. What are your thoughts?
I love this episode. It was great. I wonder who Some Guy was.
I didn't realize it until the second time, and because I thought Some Guy was the guy that kidnapped
the random
Ezekiel.
Guy.
Yeah, because he was a random guy, but somehow he was accredited with the name Gunther. I'm like, okay, when did they just assign him a name? Like,
they did.
Never said it. But watching the second time, Ezekiel, when he was like, just leave me here, and what's his name? Jerry was like, no, you're my king, and so he was like, I'm not your king. He's like, I'm just some guy that, you know, da-da-da-da.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was for sure at that scene, but it was Ezekiel that said, I'm just some guy.
Oh, you just made that up then.
No. I'm pretty sure it was at that scene, but I know for sure it was Ezekiel that said it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He was, like, definitely MVP of this episode.
Yeah, he was. He was a star. Cool.
I mean, and Carol. They both were. But Ezekiel, his acting chops, you know. I'm starting to notice Carol, she don't have to do much as far as acting goes.
Yeah.
She points a couple guns, and then
when people a couple are talking of rounds. To her,
she just sits there and listens, and then she don't really say anything.
She don't have to.
I just noticed that.
She already paid her dues.
I'm like, Carol don't really say much, you know?
Carol has paid her dues.
Yeah, she just be like, I'm showing up to work, don't give me no lines. Y'all want me to run around with the gun, I'll run around with the gun. But I ain't remembering no lines.
If you say something and Carol look at you and smile and nod, that means, you know, that's her approval.
Yep, that's all she do.
Like, okay. Carol agrees with me.
Right. All right, so the way the podcast works, if it's your first time listening, is we go over our likes, our dislikes, and then any listener letters, and then an award and a prediction at the end. Our first like is watching Ezekiel get ready for war, which we kind of discussed on the incident cast as well. Just seeing him prep and seeing him go through the motions and, like, take a moment to himself to physically and mentally prepare for what he's about to come.
Right, and it was bold of him. Because Ezekiel said so many times that he's just an actor and a zookeeper. So by him stepping out of his comfort zone and he's willing to fight now. Remember before, he didn't want to put his people in danger. He didn't want to fight.
Right.
Now he's willing to fight. You know, he got to give that incredible speech. You know, you said he moisturized his hair before he went out.
Yep, moisturized his locks.
So, you know, he had to stay in character. He had to have that hair moisturized. He had it placed correctly in his head. But yeah, I was proud of Ezekiel.
Yeah, I like that scene. The kingdom saying goodbye to their people. I mean, I know some people may call it cliche, like, oh, let's show them their goodbyes. But I liked it mainly because of what we knew happened at the end.
Well, it is cliche, and it's also a telltale sign in shows.
Okay, when they're saying their goodbyes. Like, oh,
right.
You're not going to see them anymore.
Right.
Okay. So it probably wasn't a like of yours then.
No, not a like at all.
All right.
Surprise me.
So a big like I have here is Ezekiel's speech. And Gary's mom has been visiting with us, and she actually, when we were watching Sunday night, she mentioned it, and I was like, yes, I was thinking the same thing in my head. And I can't wait to read Chantel's email, because her email is the subject line of and Yet I Smile. So I don't know if she thinks the same thing that we thought, but Ezekiel's speech was very moving. It was very powerful.
It was.
Yeah, not only that, it still reminded me and Gloria, the Maya Angelou poem, And Still I Rise, And Yet I Rise. So did you see any comparison, or did you think of that when hearing his speech? Because he kept saying, and yet I smile.
Not at the time, but now that you say something, it was just motivational to me. Like I said last week, the speech before that, King Ezekiel's the man. He can't do any wrong. Well, I can't say he can't do any wrong because yeah. He did wrong tonight with an episode, but he can't really do any wrong to me as far as speech goes, as far as motivation.
Okay. So it may not have anything to do with "And Yet I Rise" or "And Still I Rise," but for some reason when he talked and then when Gloria was like, "And Still I Rise," like when he said "And Yet I Smile," she's like, "And Still I Rise," I'm like, yes, yes, that's what I was thinking of. And maybe that's why it motivated me, you know, if you're familiar with the poem. So I was like, yes, you tell him. So I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I liked the speech. Next is "All the Dead Hilltop People," showing them, well, it's also a dislike and we'll talk about there, but them like showing Ezekiel how like it showed the scene where after he gets his speech and they're all crowding him like, yeah, like putting their hands in a huddle type thing. And then the very next scene is showing them huddled, but this time they're all dead huddled protecting their king.
Right. Yeah, that's the people from the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Did I say the hilltop? Yeah, I did. Sorry, my bad. Yeah, the people from the kingdom. So I really like that scene and just seeing all the dead people. Not that I wanted to see the dead people, but the fear and everything that, like, that whole big scene, it took a lot for Ezekiel to show that much fear. And he did a really good job showing fear and how much danger he was in and how crazy that was. Like, you know, sometimes we go, oh, come on. Like, even I think someone wrote in, or yeah, Noel, and I kind of agree. It's like, come on, we don't have time to mourn. We don't have time to be scared. But at the same time, like, that is some scary shit. Like, people get shot up around you and you're the only one that survives. That is scary.
It is terrifying.
So, yeah, that whole scene, I liked it. Well,
especially if you don't know if it's over or not.
Right, right.
Like, you could get up and now you could be the next victim.
Yeah.
And then there's a double threat. You could either be the victim of a gunshot, or you'd be a victim of walkers.
Yes, because at first I was like, what is he doing getting up? How does he know no one's going to shoot him? Yeah, at the same time, it's like, yeah, you do got to get up because they're going to turn into walkers, which I kind of critique because now it feels like they're turning to walkers within like 3 minutes. Like, they die and then they're a walker.
Well, we don't know how long he was laying down.
Okay, that's true.
There had to be a time gap because when it came back, they was already breaking a gun down.
That is true. Okay.
And I'm pretty sure they didn't just shoot a couple of people and just start breaking down right away.
They probably looked and was like, okay, we got everyone.
Right.
Which brings up some dislikes we have later.
But it was a very, very depressing seeing all the people dead.
Yeah, I mean, it was sad. Like I said, it was a like because how moving it was, but it was sad at the same time because, like, damn, like, they didn't just get shot. Like, body, whatever they were shooting them with was taking off pieces, like, whole chunks of their body. And I did read, well, not a review, but like a synopsis or something. And they're like, these new weapons. And I'm like, oh, are these supposed, I thought they were just weapons. So I guess they're supposed to be like new weapons, like weapons of mass destruction. I don't know. Like, so that's
how they're the weapons take, they have for war.
Okay.
Well, that's depressing. Chunks. It was depressing to me because, you know, that big motivational speech. I mean, that's what I listen to on my way to work ever since, you know, he's last week. I've been riding listening to it like, okay, this is my day. And now I see how the day ends. So now I'm like, oh, man.
Right.
This is some bullshit.
It hit home. All right. Carol killing the saviors from the ceiling. Like, I know we kind of were like, how did she get up there? But it's like, sometimes you just say, who cares? She got up there, her shooting them from the ceiling down and just like, just moving in action. I loved it.
Right. Carol's always on point. But I wonder how she got away from the crowd. Like, what direction did she run in and no one else ran?
Well, at least two other people ran in that direction. Because, remember, she did say, I'm going to go scout the place. And it did seem like 10 seconds later is when the firing started. But at least two other people survived. Jerry and the other guy that first tried to save Ezekiel. So somehow, which we'll talk about, but I'm guessing she walked away long. They're going to say that she walked away long enough for before the shooting started.
Okay.
Jerry killing Gunther and like splitting him into two. That's the what we thought was the some guy, the guy that kidnapped Ezekiel. When Jerry came and saved him and split him right in half. That was a big like.
I don't think he was worthy of that death.
Worthy like, of such a cool death?
Yeah, such a cool death.
I don't know. Like, to me, he had such a big moment or a lot of screen time this episode.
And which then, is another giveaway.
Yeah, and then he had such a big death we may see dude up at Walker Stalker Con next year. Like, like if I was him, I would ride that wave. Like, you know?
Yeah, it's me. Like, show the picture of me. Split in half.
Split in half, yeah. So I don't know if he necessarily deserved it, but he did have such a, such amount of screen time this episode. I'm okay with it.
I don't know. He deserved just a regular death, like a walker biting him on his arm or something.
Yeah, but he was going about to kill Ezekiel. He was about to cut his head off. So it's just ironic that he ended up getting split when he was going to split Ezekiel's body from its head.
Yeah.
All right. The Savior is killing their own guy. So when Carol had that guy at gunpoint, I believe, and or knife point, I'm not really sure what she had him at.
Which we've seen this before.
Yeah, like, I mean, oh, have we?
Yeah, she said no, that they weren't going to stop because she had one of their guys.
Yes, which some of the part of this scene actually makes the dislikes list. But just when it showed and they're like, he's like, no, don't. And they start killing. I was like,
well, he already knew they were. Fucks.
Yeah, he knew how they are or were or whatever.
He knew how they are.
Okay.
But he don't know anything now. He's dead.
Ezekiel telling Jerry he won't get behind him. So when Jerry's like, get behind me, king. And, you know, Ezekiel, I said, is he really a king? Because he's not doing king things. But everyone makes mistakes. But when he told Jerry, no, I won't get behind you. Like, him and Jerry were going to fight with each other to the death.
Okay, you mentioned that, is he a king because he's not doing king things. Are you talking about anything particular up to this point? Because it sounds like you're holding him responsible for what happened to his people.
I mean, I'm not trying to hold him fully responsible. I'm not holding him responsible for what happened. You're at war. You can't predict everything. I guess a part of me has this little nagging feeling in the back of my mind because of the fact that he kept saying, we won't lose not one. It's like, you don't say that until you're home safely behind your gates.
That's well, you when can't you say it then. You can't say we're not going to lose not one.
Well, that's when, then you don't ever say that. That's when you get home, like, we did not lose not one.
No, I think it was more motivation. It kept them going. It kept him going.
Okay. No, now you put it that way, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of great leaders and not so great leaders that have motivated people. You know, gave them that excitement. Like, he's right. We're not. And, you know, sometimes when you hear that pep talk, whether you play a sport, whether you're about to take a test at school, you know, your parents say, yeah, you'll bring home an A.
Right.
You know, you feel good. You feel like continuing. And so I think that's all he was doing. He was feeding them that because to him, it was his truth. And especially when they didn't lose one from, what, the second fight? In the second fight when they didn't lose one, yeah, I'm be extra hyped now too. Like, see, I told you. Right. I told you they would not score 1 point on us.
Okay. Either way, I did like him and Ezekiel, or him and Jerry, excuse me, fighting hand side by side.
Yeah, that was king-like.
When Ezekiel said, if you're asked to be the hero, be the hero. I like that as well.
Yeah, it's real.
It is. No, and then the next is King Ezekiel's the just some guy. So explaining that, I like that because I didn't catch the first time around.
Yeah, I don't know how I missed that. I guess at this point, this is when I started to get a little disappointed. So when he said I'm just some guy, this was when they were at the swamp, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that's the point where I just started getting a little disappointed in him, his behavior.
Yeah, and I think we kind of talked about it in Instant Cast. But, like, but was
it,
he
wasn't,
doing that?
It wasn't a show writer's dislike or a character dislike because it was real. But it was a disappointment in a King Ezekiel acting like a kid now. Acting like a big kid instead of the king that he is.
Yeah, and actually, now that you said it, because I don't have it on our dislikes, but I'll really quickly discuss it. Like, when he was like, leave me behind, like, he had a couple little hissy fits, leave me behind. Like, and then at one point, he did say, leave me behind, I'll hold him off. But a few times, it was like, just leave me behind, like when they were on the railroad, I think they were at the railroad crossing.
Yeah, he said it a couple of times.
And I was like, dude, no one has time for us to reassure you that we're not leaving behind. You know we're not going to leave behind, so stop wasting time by saying, leave me behind, because it keeps slowing us down every time you do this, I want to sacrifice myself for the team. It's not going to happen.
Well, I have a theory about that. I don't think he wanted to sacrifice himself for the team. I think he didn't want to come back.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned on the instant cast, like, was he too embarrassed to face his people?
Yeah, I think he was too ashamed to come back. Him come back without his people. Mm-hmm. I mean, he lost everybody.
Pretty much everybody, except for Jerry and Carol.
Right. So everyone who left out that gate with him died, except Jerry and Carol. And Carol's not really one of them.
Right.
So you telling me the only two people to make it is the captain and general?
Right. The king in the hand of the king.
Like, were y'all two behind everybody? I mean, there's a whole bunch of thoughts that's going to go around the kingdom. Like, why did they come back? Were they hiding while our people was out fighting? So I think this is just an embarrassing, shameful moment.
I agree.
Because what can you say? Which we see he didn't say anything. But what can you really say when you come back with no one? There's not much. And now he don't know if people are going to follow him anymore. You can't come back with your chest poked out and say, yes, we fought and everyone died. But I smile.
And yet I smile. Hey, that's when he needs to do the poem and still arise. That's when it really needs to switch. All right, next on the likes list, Shiva coming to the rescue. It's her coming out.
That was a like for you?
Well, for some reason, I have it on the likes list, but I did think for a moment that it was a dislike, like, yeah, in my head. Like,
all the way dislike.
Because I was thinking, where the hell did Shiva come from? But I don't know. For some reason, maybe when we watch it the second time, I scribbled it down on the likes list, and I actually have asterisks, meaning it's a real like, a big like. So.
Oh, so you really like that.
I guess I liked it. I don't know. You kind of talked me out of it. I mean, I did for a minute think I didn't like it, only because it was like, where Shiva just so happily appears. I'm
kind of looking at you differently now.
No. That's what you mean. Shiva appears any old given time, like whenever, or did. I guess she's past tense there. But coming to the rescue was pretty cool. And just, she took one for the team, because I would not touch any of those walkers. And she like bit into those nasty ass walkers. It was, ugh.
That was like a huge dislike for me, but I'll talk about it when we get there.
All right. Well, go ahead, because we're now on to the likes, or the dislikes, excuse me.
Wait a minute, I have one more like.
Okay.
I like how they explain why they were moving the guns. Because remember, that was a big question of ours. Like, did Dwight kind of turn on them? Did he set them up for failure? Did he want to just take them out, take all his, or make his enemies fight so he'll be the king?
Okay, explain to me, because I guess I still don't understand why they were moving the guns.
Well, it seems like they moved the guns often. The guns never... After Rick and them stole the guns the first time, I guess it's like the traveling weapons now. Like, they pack them up and move them. They could be at another spot tomorrow. A couple of days later, it could be at another spot.
Okay, well, why wouldn't Dwight tell them that? And then, two.
Well, they could have moved it sooner than he thought. Like, okay, this is where weapons are now. Usually be here for a week. But when you're in a situation where you can't trust anybody, then you're going to move them often. You're like, okay, for the last three times I moved it, I let it stay there for a week. So this time, I'm going to let it stay there for 2 days.
Okay. Maybe. I still don't get the whole gun storyline. Like, the guns are separate from where the people are, where the most people... Like, where the saviors are.
Well, I'm pretty sure everyone has weapons. But they don't have everything. Because remember, Rick and them, they hit a lick. They got a lot of weapons. They got a whole storage closet.
Right. All right, where did the guy that originally attempted to save Ezekiel, like, where did he come from? The one that Gunther killed. Remember, before Gunther kidnapped Ezekiel, one of his kingdom people, he was probably
lying down too.
But who protected him? He just came out of nowhere.
Probably nobody. He probably just hit the ground, so he heard gunshots.
Well, then where was he when Ezekiel was like, ah! Like,
playing dead. Same thing Gary would have been doing.
All right.
I mean, I think he's brave for coming out when he came out. Because I've been playing dead for the rest of this episode, next episode.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I was like, where'd you come from?
Catch me in the season finale. I'll get up then.
Next is like, okay, so a few times they were stopped, Ezekiel and Gunther. They were stopped and the walkers were following them. Like, one of the times I counted, it was 34 seconds. And it's like, how did these walkers not catch up to you guys? Like, several times they would stop, and then Gunther would, like, threaten to kill him, or Gunther would, like, slam Ezekiel down, and I'm like, well, okay, the walkers were, like, right behind you.
Yeah.
You know? So convenient that they still haven't came up to you yet.
Yeah, that was horrible. That was horrible. They showed the walkers in the same spot, like, three times.
Yep.
Like, show them getting closer, then they cut to Carol and something else, then they go back to the scene of the walkers, like, they rewind them.
Right, right.
A little rewind, now they're back where they were.
They're going to use that scene again, yeah.
Started over to use that scene, like, one more time. Well, since we're on dislikes, let me get to the Sheba. Why I hated that scene. Where was Sheba at when all the walkers come at him? Where was she at when Gunther had him hostage? How did Sheba just reappear? You know, Sheba was with them the whole time. Did she run and hide? And why did she just come out when they got to... I guess a part that really didn't matter.
Yeah, because they really didn't need help during that swamp thing. They could have made it out.
They could have made it. They could have pulled Ezekiel like, by his dreads.
There was like five.
Like, here, you coming with us.
There were like five walkers there. Carol could have took those walkers on her own. Yeah, I mean, that's what I said. That's why I don't know how I made it to Lex's list. Maybe at the time it was super cool, but yeah, I was like, where did Sheba come from?
I mean, they tried to make it super cool, but it wasn't. It's like Sheba came at the most craziest time just to bring Sheba back in there, just to kill Sheba.
That's Walking Dead MO. And they love killing, like, animals, even CGI ones. I saw everyone, like...
Man, stop that.
No, you should see all the people that were talking about how sad Sheba's death was.
I mean, I understand that, but don't be talking about them like, oh, they just love killing animals. Like, they go around killing dogs and cats. Stop that.
They do that for emotional... reactions.
I can't even believe you went there.
They do.
You working for PETA?
No, I'm saying it. Like, they did it with the horse in season one with Rick. Man,
they probably killed, like, two animals this whole series. And now, oh, you know how they love killing animals.
I mean, well, I didn't mean, like, they just love killing animals. I'm saying they do it for that reaction. They know if you kill an animal on TV or in a movie, you're going to get the reaction that you wanted. They're going to trend.
Yeah, I understand that, but...
I bet you we'll start seeing a few more animals die now.
Oh, now that's what they do.
Like, shit, we should have been played that card. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think you was one of those people to call.
I'm just saying.
Now, this is just what they do. Walking Dead kills animals.
Next on the dislike list is the saviors talking too much, which in this episode I'm talking about Gunther mainly. Like, every week... All the villains, doesn't matter which episode, they always have to, like, Morales, they always have to give a speech. And that's what this savior was doing. The whole time he's walking Ezekiel, he's talking to him. If you're talking, you can't be busy paying attention to your own surroundings.
Well, I don't think that's a show dislike. That's just every villain, any show you watch. I mean, that's how you know who the villain is. Like, if two people are there and you don't like... You know, either or don't know how the show's going to be. And you know the villain by the boy who's talking too much.
That's the villain.
He's going to tell you, you know, how he's going to kill him.
Right.
You know, how happy everyone's going to be when he die. Telling the mummy's going to kill him. Like, yeah, I'm going to take you back to the compound. You know what? I'm going to walk you over to that gate. I'm going to stick this knife right here in you.
Which is what he tried to do with Ezekiel. Like, Ezekiel's like, I can't climb that fence. You don't have to. I'm like, okay. Why did you just do it? Like,
right. You're going to kill me back there.
Right. All right. Next is, why did Gunther put the blood on Ezekiel's face? Once again, that's where he died. Pretty much. Remember when they were about to cut the fence or jump the fence, and he takes, like, blood from Ezekiel's legs and, like, puts it on his eye, like, wipes it on his face.
I think it's for, like, dramatic effect. Like when he was gonna take the head to what's the main villain?
Negan.
I forgot about Negan. Yeah, like, you know, they'll show Negan for like two or three episodes. He don't exist anymore. But he wanted to take the head to Negan.
Oh, so he wanted to have a bloody face.
Right.
Okay. Still weird.
It was.
Another, where in the hell did this person come from? And that's going to be Jerry. Like, I'm glad to see Jerry, but it's like, where in the hell did you come from? Did you walk past all the walkers to get to Ezekiel? Like, where did you come from, Jerry?
Yeah.
You know? Where did you come from? I mean, it was cool, but it just didn't make no sense. All right, Carol putting herself out there, like, when she stood up and she's like, okay, you guys, like, I'll tell you where my people are. Like, that scene was so stupid to me. First of all, two reasons. Carol, how did you know they weren't going to shoot you right away? Like Rick and Daryl did, pretty much, almost with their guy.
And but then this two, is a different type of situation.
Well, two, why didn't the guys shoot her right away?
Because there was a threat out there. They didn't know if she was the only one. So she said, I'll tell you where the rest of my people are.
It was, I didn't like it. I was like, wait a minute. Why didn't they just shoot her as soon as she showed herself?
I mean, Carol and Rick's group, or the whole team, they're like roaches. Like, yeah, you could stand up. As soon as Carol stand up, you could kill her right then and there. Or you could let her tell you where everyone's at and you just kill all of them.
And then how could she even predict that one of them was going to come closer to her, like the one that did? That he came closer to her, and that's how she was able to push him down and get the knife. Like, I just didn't like it. I honestly, it wasn't realistic of how it happened.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with you. I don't think that was a dislike. I mean, we've seen Carol in this position, like, many times before, but still, I don't think it was a dislike. It was just an action scene. You know, you gotta get one of those in.
All right. Next dislike. Carol pushing the button, just knowing it's going to open the gate to let the walkers in to start killing those guys. Like, the guys that were holding the gun at her after they killed her friend, remember, they start getting bit by walkers because she pushed a button that was, like, on a wall, and it opened the gate.
Now, man, wasn't that button under the stairs or something? That was just a weird spot for a button to open the gate.
Unless the button said gate opener, like, how in the hell did she know that this, you push this button, the gate's gonna open? Like, it was just too convenient.
It was. I actually agree with you on that one. Like, how did she know that was a gate opener, and why was it in that spot?
Yeah, it was a very weird spot too. You're right.
It was, like, very low. Like, somebody had to walk down the stairs, crawl up under it, press the button.
All right, didn't we already hear Ezekiel's backstory? So, like, later on when he tells Carol, you know, I was a zookeeper and I did theater at night. I'm like, wait, this story's like deja vu. I heard it before.
We have.
Okay.
But I don't think Carol's heard it before.
I thought that's who he told the first day he met Carol, when he told her he was faking it.
I thought he was telling Rick.
No, I don't even know if he's talked to Rick. Like, that first scene when Carol didn't want to leave and he offered her, when she was leaving and he caught her in the garden, remember, she was taking some apples or something, and then he told her, I think it's like it had to be like season 7, I'm guessing.
I remember him telling her to fake it till you make it.
No, like a different season, before he gave her the house to the side. Remember when she used to stay in the house down the street?
Right.
It was like right before then.
I mean, I know he told the story before, but I didn't know he was telling to Carol. I thought when Rick, Morgan, and who else was with them?
Only Morgan really has been at any other time with
Morgan.
I think he was to Morgan.
I think Morgan is who he told the story to.
I'm so sure. But remember, he told Carol.
When Rick came, and it was in a theater, it was Rick, Carol, and Morgan.
Oh, yeah, but not that part.
And I thought that's when he told the story, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. It was just cool to hear it again. It actually went with this episode. And it would go with the next episode. Like, there's people in there like, why? Why? Why did you take all our people out to die? Why?
See, I was just a zookeeper.
Yeah. That's my excuse. I'm not really a king.
All right, Ezekiel. I mean, they should know he's not already a king, really. Like, come on. They don't really think he's a king.
Well, he is a king. I mean, what is a king?
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
It's someone that someone has, you know, somewhere down the line gave the title to.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know what, this family, we're going to call them kings. I mean, we've seen on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Rob was a king.
He was a king, and all he did was sit on the throne.
Yeah.
He killed the old king.
No, wait, who are we talking about? Oh, Robert. Sorry.
Robert.
I thought you were talking about Rob Stark. I was like, hold on.
And Rob Stark, he just came out and said, I'm the king.
Well, he didn't name himself. His people did. Same with Jon Snow.
I mean, T.I.
All right, Ezekiel talking to Carol when he says it does, it will. I'm like, what does that mean?
I mean, that's what he's been saying this whole time.
All right, Ezekiel talking to Carol when he says it does, it will. is once again last week or the week before when Paul was like, I have killed, I will kill, or whatever. I didn't like the wording.
I've killed. Yeah, something crazy.
And then it does. It will. I didn't like that.
I mean, that's just something they've been saying for the last... I guess they got a new writer in the room. They gave a new writer a job.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead, and that's his thing.
His kids want to watch, so he's like, let me make some easy language.
Little Sesame understand. Street type.
All right. So when Carol hears the motorcycle, Daryl's motorcycle, and she goes... They won't get the guns back, and she's all confident. I'm okay with that. However, my question or my dislike is, if Daryl's motorcycle makes that much noise to where Carol can hear it, why is he even riding? He doesn't need to be riding that motorcycle. It's I mean, you know,
oh, you're a petty.
No, I'm like, every time we see him in this motorcycle.
Now Daryl can't ride his bike.
It's just like, oh, well, if it's making that much noise when people can hear you from a distance, well, that's Daryl coming, then you don't need to be riding that motorcycle.
Oh, so now Daryl need to be walking.
No, I mean, maybe he can get in the car like the rest of the folks.
I thought it was cool.
No, I thought it was cool her saying it.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that scene. I didn't have a problem with her saying that. I didn't have a problem with the bike. And of course, you know, Daryl coming, you know, he's a one-hitter quitter. So Daryl pull the trigger, he's hitting his mark.
So in addition to Daryl having just the best aim, he apparently can block bullets with his hands as well. Because I swear... When he was on the motorcycle and they start blocking and they start shooting, like, he hit his hand up and then he slid off. And I'm like, wait, did your hand pluck all those bullets that came at you?
Come on, you know that didn't happen.
I'm sorry. Like, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, I'd be looking at you with a side eye now.
I promise you. He was like,
you know that's not what happened.
Then what happened? Are you telling me none of those bullets landed on him?
No, remember he was moving the bike around.
And yeah, he dodged all those bullets.
And yeah, he gonna put his hand up and keep his hand shot in the face.
So his hand did block a bullet.
It didn't block anything.
Okay.
I mean, you know, that's like when somebody swing at you.
I know. It's just instinct.
You see, somebody, you're playing dodgeball. I mean, why do you put your hand up?
All right.
You try not to get it in the face.
That's all we got for the likes and dislikes.
So petty.
Now to listener letters. If you would like to be part of the podcast and give us your feedback, we'd love to hear from you. dead@theverdictsin.com. Or on Twitter @TheVerdictsIn or Facebook.com/VerdictsIn, and we will discuss your feedback on the podcast. Also, be sure to follow us on social media just in case you don't. Sometimes if we're late podcasting or something comes up, we will post to Twitter and Facebook first. All right, so Noelle, her screen name on Twitter, or her Twitter name is It's All Screen. She wrote, why Ezekiel surprised about the zombie rising? They always do. You don't have time to mourn the dead. So this is at the beginning when Ezekiel's so scared. And I kind of talked about this. I liked him being scared. But yeah, I do get what she's saying. Like, why are you acting shocked that they're rising?
I think Ezekiel was shocked because he hasn't been out much. Ezekiel's been behind the gates playing king. I think the only time he got out and really, really been out is when he's making trades for his people. He always went along for the ride, but I'm not sure if they were out killing anybody lately.
All right.
In fact, when Negan's people came and killed one of his people, remember when Negan's people killed the young guy?
Yeah.
The king still didn't retaliate.
Or was that at the hilltop? I think that happened at the hilltop.
Well, who died?
Oh, you're okay. Talking about when Ben out in the field.
Right.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like we never got to see it, but they talked about it, that someone got, a little boy got killed, and that was at the hilltop that happened.
No. I'm talking about when they were out on their run, making it wasn't a trade, when they were making an offering.
Right.
Offering for their lives. So I don't think they've been out there actually killing people or really making moves like that. They've been inside for a long time, growing their gardens, you know, playing house.
All right. And she continues, I'm confused. How did the king and the kingdom end up in this open area without protection anyways? This wasn't where they were fighting. No, I thought the same thing, and then Gary brought it up, how the forest, wherever they did their, I don't know, whatever it's called, when they did their ambush last week, I believe, with the saviors, when the saviors came up and got on them, but really they had a peep on the other side. Apparently that was only a few feet away from where this took place, where the slaughter took place.
Right, because a lot of people in the field dead were the people they just killed before.
Remember? You mean the walkers?
Yeah, a lot of the walk. Well, when they showed all the dead bodies at the beginning of the show, when he was laying down and they showed all the dead bodies.
No.
Yeah.
Well, actually, now all of
those,
think about it.
All of those weren't the kingdom people. Because remember, there was dead bodies on the ground. And he said, right, let's look around. Let's check everybody.
Okay, okay, my bad. Yes, yes, yes.
Right before the shooting started, they were about to, I guess, go through those people's pockets.
I don't know. Well, I remember when they were out in the forest, they started, or maybe it was this scene before, like last week's scene, where they start putting people down. I think they were like, okay, let's start putting people down. And that's when Carol was like, well, we should actually go scope the place.
And right.
That's okay.
And remember, they were already in the field at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And she wrote two perfect damn writers. Just worked out too perfectly. Well, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Noelle.
All right. And we have a Facebook message today from C. Cypher.
Okay.
And he wrote, I'm just saying, Carol's daughter, not the black hair, care products. So if you guys don't know, that's a product called Carol's Daughter, was really not that old. Can you see a person staying with an abusive spouse too mentally detached from a life as a young assassin? Or do you see Carol as transforming from housewife to stone cold, calculating ghost recon ninja?
Both.
AFS. I don't know what AFS stands for. But then he also wrote, and I thought Mandy from the commercial, from the Red Machete, was Carol as a teen who got with Ed because he looked like her dad.
So he's talking about the, what's it called?
Machete. Red Machete thing.
Okay.
I think the Red Machete thing, it, even if it is a, like, a mirror of Carol's life, it's definitely not supposed to be Carol or Carol's daughter because the girl's name is Mandy. She's of a different race. But it could be mirroring something similar, but we haven't yet seen anything abusive go on. And then I don't think Ed was supposed to be older than Carol. Carol's ex-husband?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I'm just trying to think of Red Machete. That's why there's a look on my face.
He gave her a Red Machete, and then at the end it like had her little name in the red part, like Mandy.
Yeah, that would be cool if it did mirror someone on Walking Dead, which I think it should, because I'm not understanding the Red Machete, because it's totally like off from the last season. Like the last season, they actually went with Fear. The people actually met up. But this time, it's, you know, they're putting it with The Walking Dead, and I don't think it has anything. It's, I don't know. It just looks extra fake to me. Like when they killed the zombies in the store. But no, I don't think that's Ed, and I definitely don't think that's Carol. And I know the machete said Mandy. Maybe he named his machete Mandy.
Yeah. Thanks, C-Cypher. We appreciate it.
Thanks, C-Cypher.
All right, we have an email today from Chantel, whose Twitter name is @FashionFaith.
Hey, Chantel.
She wrote, Hi, Gary Nicole. Well, that was one hell of an episode. The pace was perfect, the intensity was fantastic, and the story just worked. When the episode started, I was a little nervous. As we watched Ezekiel prepare for the battle, the tension was building. It was such a beautiful scene with an interesting use of color that made things soothing and suspenseful at the same time. If that makes sense. And it does.
Yeah.
It was really brilliant. Well done. Now let's all take a moment to appreciate how fine King Ezekiel was in that satin scarf with his dreads tied back in that moment. I was ready to oil his scalp and discuss my dreams of our future.
Well, we know he oils his own scalp. We've seen him moisturizing.
His rousing speech really did take us to church. Nicole, I laughed out loud when I listened to the instant cast and you said, "Where's Jesus?" When I was watching, I said, "Jesus needs to hear this sermon." Yes, yes, he did. Yes, he did. That message was meant for his ears. Hopefully someone recorded it for him so that it can bless his life later. I agree. Yep. All right, see how she has some few sections here. Carol is so badass, that is all. Can we discuss the Billy Bob-looking savior that took Ezekiel? He looked like a serial killer straight out of Central Casting. You know that if you weren't for the zombie apocalypse, he'd have people tied up in his basement or in an underground bunker somewhere. Creepy. Did you get those vibes from him?
Yeah, he was weird looking.
I saw a lot of people say
that whole scene was just weird, period. Just him reappear, him coming out the ground.
he didn't come out of the ground. Like, he came out of nowhere, too. Just, like, the area he came out of was like, what the hell was he doing there? Like, all by himself in that area.
Yeah, he probably came out of a sewer.
Or he might have killed his people before then. Like, I'm going to get credit for his King Ezekiel.
He don't even know Negan. Right,
I would say, like, when I saw him, I had to look it up because I swore he was the boy from Honey, I Blew Up the Kids and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Like, to me, he looked just like him all growing up. I was like, for sure that was him. And then when I looked it up, I was like, nope, that's not him. And even his IMDb page doesn't even look like how he did in the episode. So I'm going to say he probably doesn't look as creepy in real life as he did on the show. Because his IMDb page, I'm like, this is the same guy? Like, he looked totally different. So, but yes, on the show, he did look creepy. All right, she goes, Jerry is so badass, that is all. Yes, he was pretty cool. And then she goes, I love the car chase scene. While it was pretty unrealistic that the gun didn't completely destroy Rick's Jeep and Rick, I love that when he moved over and Daryl was behind him to take the guy out, and when Rick jumped out of the car, so cool. Okay, so I kind of agree with you, but at the same time, like, when Rick was standing, when Rick's car was next to the Savior's car, I'm like, okay, why'd the Savior shoot him? Why let Rick jump over to your car? Like, I'm sorry. You had the advantage here. Rick should have never been able to make it to your car. And then when Rick caught up to you and he's driving side by side, do something different. Either speed up or slow down. Like, why'd you, like, especially when you see he jumping and he's jumping, I would slow down. I would come on my brakes all of a sudden.
Make him jump past the car.
Yeah, like something. It was just like, how is this dude? And then, like, who picked these cars? These cars look like they were in freaking Jurassic Park. You know, that's what I thought of. I was like, what are these cars? Like, they have those, like, Rangers.
Those are military Jeeps.
Oh, are they? Okay. I thought I had Jurassic Park vibes, like, the whole time. You know, that's the cars they had in Jurassic Park. I was like, okay. But, yeah, it was unrealistic.
I thought it was a cool scene. And I love when he moved to the side and Daryl took the shot.
Daryl didn't get shot at all.
Daryl, his leather pants not even torn or nothing.
Nothing. No bruises. All right, she continues. How heartbreaking was it to see Ezekiel completely drop his facade and say, I ain't no king, I ain't nothing, I'm just some guy. That's when I teared up. What a fantastic performance, and the actor who plays Jerry did a beautiful job too. The look on his face, heartbreaking. I can't wait to see how or if Ezekiel comes out of this. What do you guys think Carol will do or say now that she, Jerry, and Ezekiel have returned and Ezekiel is so broken? Will she cover for him? She looked like she was going to say something to the people. So I don't see Carol as a leader at all. It's possible she may say something to the people or...
Hold up. You don't see Carol as a leader?
No. I don't see Carol as a leader. I see her as a soldier. See her as Jason Bourne, you know? But I don't see her as a leader. Like, one, to sit up there and give a speech and be like, okay, guys, let me tell you what happened. It's all going to be okay. That's not Carol. To me, that's not Carol.
I think Carol would be an excellent leader. She's definitely a survivor. I don't know what she could say to the people. There's really nothing you could say right now to people that has lost everybody. So will she try to cover for Ezekiel? Maybe. Or if she was smart, she'd just take notes and just walk past him also.
All right.
The only thing she could do was just follow in his footsteps, go put her hand on that guy's shoulder, and just walk past. Keep moving.
All right, and then she goes, last thing, I didn't get a chance to write in last week, but I have a theory about why Morales may have shown up. He may be the crossover character that has been teased. If fear is behind the Walking Dead in the zombie apocalypse timeline, we could see Morales and his family meet up with the fear the group down south somewhere.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Then we will see how his family died and how he ended up alone and ran into Negan. Just a thought.
That'd be cool.
That would be really cool. And actually, reading this when she was saying that, reading this, I thought, what if they want to eventually get rid of one show and merge the cast? So is it possible Nick, Alicia, I was gonna say Ophelia, Madison, one of them could be in Negan's compound too? You see how they just go with the flow, whoever they're with, they'll just fight.
No.
No.
I don't think they could merge these two shows. They're just too different. The zombies are different. It's just too different. You can't put these two shows together.
No, when you put it that way, you're right. The zombies make it just a whole different show altogether.
These are just two different shows. I mean, everything's different about it. The zombies are different. So it's going to be hard to get a crossover with anybody from The Walking Dead. I think Morales, I mean, that's a good theory. It'd be fun to watch. But it'd still be hard to kind of blend the shows. I don't think they could ever do it. But it would be cool seeing the Fear Walkers on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, they have some really good walkers there. All right, but I do like that theory, and I like it's possible maybe that's why they brought Morales back. So that makes a little bit more sense, because bringing him back for one episode didn't really make sense. Bring him back for a crossover or a few episodes makes a little more sense.
I think if they would have crossed over first, it would have been better. But just bringing them back in general before we see anything, it just didn't make any sense at all to me.
It doesn't now, but if they end up bringing him back, I'll be like, oh, okay, like when we do see him in a flashback, I'm guessing it would have to be, we'd be like, okay, we know how he dies. We know how it ends for him. So I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it would be.
Shit, thanks in advance for what I'm certain will be a great podcast episode by Chantel at Fashion and Faith.
Thanks, Chantel.
Thank you so much for writing in. All right, Tiffany wrote, so I'm pretty sure this was my favorite episode of the season, and I'm still trying to find all the reasons why. I guess I should go with this excitement, so I will. Oh my God, guys, the opening was crazy, with everyone King E was with being killed. That was super deep, and it actually showed the results of what 50 caliber bullets does to an actual human being. I'm pretty sure those bullets are meant to be shot at planes and military vehicles, not people. I just felt so bad for everyone, including King E.
Right.
Yeah, which is pretty much Gary Sex. I'm like, how did they take off chunks of off of people? So that makes more sense that it's military grade.
Yeah.
He knew it was possible that he could lose people, but after so many successes, it was hard to believe that he could fall so, so hard. It really made me sad, and Kerry Payton's acting was so good. I felt for him. Then to have the double whammy of all the people who were killed coming back to life and basically stalking him. Yeah. Like, even when the guy was like, man, look at you. They're still following you now. Gunther guy.
Yeah.
Then when stupid Jeffrey Dahmer came out and cut and shot the guy who was helping King E and was like, oh, you ain't shit. You ain't never going to be shit. And everyone knows it. I knew that would be the straw that emotionally broke the camel's back. I was so happy when Jerry showed up and chopped dude in half because he totally deserved it. And I was glad when King E got at least one dig in that he bets Negan doesn't even know who he is. And yeah, that didn't make our likes list, but I liked it. When the guy was like, I'm Negan. And he's like, man, does Negan even know who you are? Does he even know your name?
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, he did a really good job.
He did. And that was a perfect question.
Carol being her usual badass was awesome as always. I really appreciate her use of stealth because I'm pretty sure that the Saviors don't really have any strategy per se, right? Yeah. They have a lot of people and they seem to have acquired a lot of guns, but they just count on brute force.
Yeah.
Also, the only problem I really had with the episode was the chase. The car, gun, motorcycle chase was awesome and I really enjoyed seeing Rick and Daryl bro it out. But how did they know the next outpost, what's the next outpost they should go to? I might have to check back into last week's episode. I feel like I'm misconnecting pieces. Also, I might have to stop calling them Rick and Daryl because the friendship is so real that they are Andrew and Norman. So like, how did Rick and Daryl know that where Carol was the next outpost to go to? Like, I know the young boy that they killed said they moved it, but did he say where the outpost was?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll have to go back.
I have to go back with her.
All right, she continues. I was very concerned about Shiva, and I assumed she may have gone into the woods to lick her wounds, and maybe that they would stumble upon her body in the woods. So I was super pumped to see her jump into the riverbed, and when she threw that first zombie back up onto the ledge, I literally thought, oh man, that looks so good. They probably exhausted the CGI budget until the second half. Well, that's what I get, because apparently that was all of the CGI budget, and I was forced to clutch my husband's arms and yell repeatedly, no, no, jump on the ledge. Oh my gosh, babe. I think my eyes were watering. Oh.
Mine was too. But mine was a disappointment of this dumb scene.
I was like, oh. I just knew it. I was like, oh. When she came out there, I was like, that's pretty cool, but she's about to die.
I was thinking, like, where the hell was Sheba this whole time? I know she heard the king crying. Heard him crying. I know she heard him crying. We had the opening scene.
Yeah.
He's on the ground like, oh, ah. And you telling me she hid that whole time? Shame on you, Sheba.
It was not only Sheba's death, but King E's reaction. Just heartbreaking. Especially after hearing the story of how he didn't know what type of person he was going to be, but he jumped in and saved her anyways. And it was like Sheba returning the favor. I can't stop cutting onions, Riddickson. The ending scene was also hurtful, because there's basically no one left at the kingdom. I wonder if they will become one with another place, and him just walking away from everyone, no flowery words, and no Sheba, stop at the Walking Dead, you are literally killing me. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, wow, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, they should go to maybe Alexandria or something, but because, well, I don't know, because they have so much garden and everything. So do they have housing where the Alexandria people can come to them?
Well, I'm talking deeper than that. They literally have no one left. The king power was having Sheba. There's probably like 15 people left in that town. And I'm talking including Ezekiel, Jerry. This was a very sad ending. Because it may be the end of the kingdom. Next season, Ezekiel is just going to be a soldier. He's going to be a soldier at the hilltop. Fight with Morgan. You'll see him with the little outfit on.
That's possible. If Morgan goes to the hilltop, he might just go to Alexandria because he knows Rick will agree with his way of life there.
Or he may fall off the radar again for like another two seasons.
I can see that too. All right, side notes. Norman is a great shot, and I'm not even going to question it. King E's asking Carol how she got so brave, and her response being, yeah, I decided, but life also decided for me, was so philosophical and just old school Walking Dead. When are people going to learn that Carol's taking her Centrum Silver on a regular basis? So we find out that Negan wants Rick, the widow, and the king on his zombie wall. Interesting. The Phyllis episode was so reminiscent of an old episode of The Walking Dead. It kind of made me nostalgic for seasons 1 through 5 again. And then her ain't fearing shit, Sheba, cuz Sheba.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Next to die, I have no clue, but I'm going to go with Paul, a.k.a. Jesus, mostly because he needs to be victim of his own stupidity.
Which he might be.
Until next week, good people. Woot, woot.
Thanks, Tiff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I want Paul necessarily to die. Like, if you think about it, remember when Carol and Morgan were fighting each other? Because Morgan was trying so hard not to kill the wolf people?
Yeah.
So, I guess that's why it hurts so much, because, like, okay, we see this has already been done, but we love Morgan, you know? And we're cool with Morgan. So, I'm just hoping Jesus comes around and comes around fast at this point.
I think he's going to be forced to come around, because he will be a victim of his own stupidity.
Or someone else, maybe. Maybe Tara will be the one that said we need to kill. Maybe she might end up dying.
I don't think that that'd be, like, harsh enough. I don't think he'd get a picture. Somebody like Maggie would have to die.
Okay. And they're not going to do that.
They might do that.
Maybe. All right. Thank you guys, all of you, for writing in. We appreciate it. We appreciate the time you put in to write to us. It means a lot. It really, really does. I just want to say that because we had some really good emails today. So just thank you guys all for writing in on it, whether it was email, Twitter, Facebook. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. I ain't fearing shit. Gary, who do you have?
I'm going to have to give it to Carol. Carol went in that building by herself, not knowing who was on the other side, who was shooting a weapon. It's crazy. And even when she found out how many people she had to fight against, she still stood there and fought. In fact, she actually won. Or she would have won if she wouldn't have went to save Jerry and Ezekiel. I'm sorry, I'm disrespectful. King Ezekiel.
I'm going to agree with you for all the same reasons. I ain't fearing shit, Carol, in my opinion. Most likely to die?
I'm going to go with who I said, and that's Maggie. I think Maggie's going to be the one that die over Jesus' stupidity. And actually, I can't really just call it Jesus alone, because Maggie let him in. And I think that would probably hit home the hardest. In fact, in a flashback or flash forward, did we see Maggie? For all we know, that could have been Maggie baby that Rick was with.
Okay, in that okay. Yeah. I'm going to say for my most likely to die, I'm going to give it to Gregory. I think he may die next week. Although we didn't see him, it's still possible. So that's my most likely to die.
That's your. That's who you hope would die.
Yeah, that's who I hope would die. So we'll see.
When did Gregory die by the hand? Nah, I don't think that hit home hard enough. We're expecting that.
That's why I think it's going to happen. We'll see. I mean, next okay. It might not happen next week, but we'll see. All right, you guys. Until next week, thank you so much for listening. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Bye.